Praise God. Let's turn over to Romans 8. We started talking a few weeks back about being led by the Spirit of God, how to be led by the Spirit of God. This is such an important topic. If we can be led by the Spirit of God, by God Almighty, in our lives, do what He would have us to do. Think about it. If we know how to be led by Him, and we can be where He wants us, doing the thing He wants us to do all the time. And He's already figured out that that's the best thing that we could do. We don't have to do that part. We just have to execute. He's just drawn up all the plays. He's already figured out everything that needs to be done. He already knows how to make a run on the enemy. He knows how to go around every trap. He knows how to get us right where we need to be in every situation. All we have to do then is walk in it. But if we can know and come up and be at a higher level in hearing Him, man, that's so much of the battle. I mean, there's so many people that are just wandering around going, what should I do? What should I do? You know, ever hear somebody jokingly say, you know, they're 45 or 50 and say, I haven't figured out what I want to do when I grow up yet. There's a lot of people in those situations. I mean, I know we all grow as we get older. We are learning more and more what we ought to be doing, and there is a truth there. But we don't have to, the major things in life, we don't have to just sit and spin around all the time, just for years and years going, man, I wish I knew what I was really supposed to do. Why am I on this earth? You know, so many people are asking that very question. What am I doing? What should I really be doing in life? And you know, what we're talking about today is the answer to that question. If we can know, I mean, yes, generally speaking, we are put on this earth. We're to glorify God in our bodies. We're to worship Him with our lives. But what are you and I supposed to be doing daily? The Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible tells us generally what to do, how you ought to do it, what you should be doing as a father, as a daughter, as a son, as a mother, as a grandma, as a Christian. It tells you that, tells you how you ought to behave, but it doesn't tell you where you're supposed to do it, who you're supposed to be married to, you know, what job you're supposed to be doing, what state you're supposed to live in, what type of vocation you would have in the body of Christ. The Bible does not tell us that. We have to get that from the Spirit of God. What He gives us will always be in line with His Word. In other words, He's never going to tell you to do something outside of His Word. He's never going to tell you to dump the spouse you're with and go marry somebody else because that would be violating His Word. He will never, ever, 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 ever say anything like that. So if anybody ever says, God told me, and you have scripture to say something contradictory that contradicts that, you can look them in the eye and say, that's not the Lord. That's not God you're hearing. They say, but God told me, I know. But if you have scripture that contradicts it, it's not God. Period. But people go, well, but God told me. I mean, I really believe it was Him. What does that have to do with anything? Nothing. Because like we're going to talk about today, people sometimes think certain things are their spirit. Well, they wouldn't even put it like that, most people. They would just think God told them, but what they don't understand, it's they're actually their mind or their flesh they're being led by. So they feel like they should do something. Well, where is that feeling? Because being led by the Spirit isn't a feeling. And so the feeling, you know, people say, well, I just feel like it's God. Well, if it contradicts the Word, it's not God. Even if it doesn't contradict the Word, doesn't mean it's God. People are really quick to call something the Lord. The Lord's leading me to do this. The Lord's leading me to do this. And it's just, well, something happened and I feel like it's the Lord. We should be not fast to do that. Measure it. Because if the Lord tells you something, the Lord doesn't, if you get to know Him, He doesn't speak all the time in big things all the time. He's not dropping things all the time. No, he's leading you by the inward witness all the time. But he's not doing that, you know? So people will be really quick to say, the Lord told me. We ought to be slow to be put. Because once you say, the Lord told me, what's somebody going to tell you? You're telling me, well, the Lord told me this, okay? So if you're telling me that, I have two choices. I'm more than that probably, but I could, if I'm going to contradict you, then I'm telling you God didn't tell you that. I mean, if the Lord, if you're telling me the Lord said something, who am I to argue with the Lord? Right? I mean, if God really said it, who's Jim? Right? We got to be careful how we phrase things. So if you come to somebody and say, well, the Lord told me. Well, are you sure it's the Lord? So we get into that right away. It's sometimes wiser to say, you know, I perceive or I believe maybe the Lord is speaking to me or I feel like I'm being led this way. And if you're really telling somebody to get feedback, that's much better because you haven't backed yourself into a corner where you have to get out and now it's about you whether or not you can hear God or not. Because the minute you say it's the Lord, now you're in this corner, and for you to get out of that, you're going to have to admit that it's not the Lord. That's hard on people's flesh, no matter what. So don't put yourself in that position, because it's going to be hard. You're going to have to overcome your flesh now to say, oh, maybe it's not God. Now, it's not just about that issue. It's about whether or not you can hear God, because you just said it was the Lord. Now, if you just back it and say, well, I believe, you know, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? Okay, we're just talking about it. So it doesn't, you didn't bring God into it at all. You're just saying, well, you know, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? The person's real free to say, that's a stupid idea. You asked me, and we didn't involve God at all. And we didn't involve your ability to hear God. What we're just involving is, let's just talk about this. Or, well, you know, that could be, but what about this scripture? Now we can discern what the Lord is saying much easier. Anyway, let's go to Romans 8, 14 and read our text. For as many, Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Notice that. So He bears witness with what? Our spirit that we're children of God. So the same way that you know, I mean, you know it by the Word, and He's going to bear witness that that's right, that you're a child of God, is the same way He leads us in everyday life. It's the same way. Majority of the time. Yes, you could see a vision. Yes, you could get a word. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge should confirm what you already have in your heart. In other words, if you feel like God is telling you to do something and you get a word, it should bear witness with what you already believe you're supposed to do. If you get a word from somebody and you're just going, it's like completely different than anything you thought of, then I would proceed very carefully. Because not every word is from the Lord. Some people have gotten confused. They think they're going in one direction and God is leading them, and then they'll get a word in a service or from somebody and they'll be like, it totally hits them crosswise and they don't know. I mean, it just doesn't bear witness with them. They're like, really? This is not everything I ever thought, and just nothing. Throw it out. Brother Hagin used to say all the time, he'd come up to people and say, now, if this doesn't bear witness with you, throw it out. And this is a man who's walked with God for many, many years. And people will say, oh, he can't miss it. He himself said, if I miss it, throw it away. Don't put a person above what the Spirit of God's telling you. Because nobody cares about your life like you. You're going to have to live your life. I'm going to have to live my life. So don't let so-and-so prophesied to me. So? So, I don't care who it is. So, did God tell you? Did God tell you to do that? Does that bear witness with what the Lord is bearing witness with you to tell? Well, there's a call of God on your life to do such and such. Did God tell you to do it? Don't let somebody else call you into the ministry or call you anywhere else. People say, well, so-and-so said I'm going to be this great, blah, blah, blah. Okay, what's God telling you? And what are you doing about it today? Because most people don't start off way down here. They start where they're at. And yes, God may have a call on your life, but it's not going to happen automatically. You're going to have to take steps to get there. So some people are saying, well, I'm called to do this. I'm just going to sit here and wait for it to happen. Not going to happen that way. But he said to be led that he bears witness with our spirit. So anytime something you feel like it's got to bear witness with your spirit, not with your head or your flesh. And let's go, we'll read a few more scriptures. I think we'll get back into this. We talked about last week the difference between our spirit, our soul, and our body. Let's pick up there, read a few more scriptures about that, and then get into a few other things. First, let's just look at your sheet for the sake of time. We read these last week. In review, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus." Spirit, soul, and body. We have a spirit. Or we live. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 21 there on your sheet. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." But verse 17 says, "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Well, where have all things become new? It's not our head when we got born again. It's not our flesh. You know, we wish in some ways our flesh would have become new. You don't want to be a baby, but, you know, just shore some stuff up. But it didn't happen that way. We're the same when we got born again as before. And our head is too. No, you're a new creation in your heart. Not in your head. Not in your flesh. What does that mean? Excuse me. That means whatever kind of thinking you had before you're born again, it's still there unless we do something with it. And the same thing with our body. Your body liked to do certain things before it's born again. It still likes to do them. And we have to do something with our body. Now let's look at 2 Peter 1 there on your sheet. It says, 2 Peter 1:12, "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent." What is he talking about? He's talking about his body. He called it a tent. Tent's not real, you know, persistent. It doesn't stay there forever. It's not like a brick building. Tent, you throw up a tent, you take down the tent, and you move on. And that's really the way our body is. It's not going to be here that long. I don't care if you live to be 120. It's not that long. But it's temporary. He said, "Yes, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent. Just as our Lord Jesus showed me." He's, you know, this is 2 Peter. He's saying he's going to die at some point. Your body is temporary. The real you is going to stay around. Your mind is going to stay around. The real your mind, not your brain, but your mind. Your mind is different than your brain. We talked about that a little bit last week. Went into some of these things. But our spirit resides. That's the real us. And we, like Peter called this a tent, we have this mechanism we call a body. Just a real complicated machine that we get around in. And then we have a brain That is the physical part that our mind uses, our soul, which is our spirit, our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, uses to function. But that's, your brain is not the same as your mind. Because you're going to have your mind, your personality, and whatever, when you get out of this world, and your brain's in the ground. It's not the same thing. Now, like we said last week, your brain could malfunction. That doesn't mean that your mind is messed up, but how it's functioning on this earth could be messed up. But that's covered by the stripes of Jesus too, so we don't have to put up with that. We can still have a sharp mind. But we have to differentiate between these three things. The spirit is how we're going to be led by God. Not our head or our soul, and not our flesh. The word said in Romans that we read that he's going to bear witness with our spirit. He's not going to bear witness with your flesh. So that means if your flesh gets real excited about something, you know, and it does. Your flesh, don't even want to mention this, but you know, like after church, you may be going out to eat somewhere. Your flesh can get excited about that. Your flesh could be like, I'm looking forward to such and such, and you can see, you can remember how it's going to taste and all that. Your flesh can get excited. That doesn't mean that's the direction you're supposed to go in. I'm not talking about going out to eat. I'm talking about generally. Just like it can get excited about that, it can get excited about any number of things that your flesh wants to do. That doesn't mean it's God. Because the Lord's going to lead us by our spirit. Your mind can look at things and have things figured out, and it looks like that's how it's supposed to operate. I can see how things could work, and it bears witness with your mind, but not with your heart. You don't go if it sounds logical. Another way of saying bear witness with your mind would be it's reasonable. Sounds logical to me. Sounds like that would make sense. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't make sense. I'm saying the way he's leading you might not make sense to your mind. And you could be going in a way that makes sense to your mind and is completely wrong, is not the direction God's leading you. And most of the time when you're walking by faith, you're not going to know everything in your head to be able for it to all bear witness with your head for you to have it all figured out. In other words, if you're going to walk by faith, there's going to be some times that your mind is just kind of like, what? You don't have all the pieces in your mind. You understand? Your spirit is jumping, doing jump. Have anybody ever felt like this? Your spirit's doing flips. I mean, in the inside, you think, that's where we're supposed to go, and you dash your mind about it, and it's like, has nothing. Doesn't know why you should go that way. You're thinking, this is where we get into trouble. We start talking to somebody else, and they're like, why are you going there? And you start trying to articulate it, and you're in the mental realm, and you got nothing. And you start speaking about certain things, and they're looking at you like, you got a screw loose, buddy. You're going off a cliff. Why? Because you're trying to communicate spiritual things in the natural realm, in the mind, and it doesn't. You don't have all the pieces there that would make them satisfied intellectually. But how many times did this happen in the Word of God? When Noah built the ark, if he's telling people, it's going to rain and I'm going to need this big boat. They look at him, look at the boat, no rain, nothing like that's ever happened. That's not going to make you, doesn't sound reasonable. You see what I'm saying? You're not going to be able to fill in the blanks and go, oh yeah, I see why you're building the boat. I'll be on it. Count me in. There is nothing like that. But if you saw from the way God sees, was it reasonable? Yeah. Oh yeah. It was absolutely the right thing to do. And if you're smart, you would have been on the boat too. Right? But people are going, dude's nuts. I'm not going on that boat. They thought that way until it started to rain. And then they're knocking on the door. But God already shut the door. Too late. Right? Well, this is how it works. God's not going to always tell you everything. That doesn't mean, people have confused saying, well, God's not logical. No, God is infinitely logical. If you saw the way God sees, you would be like, yep, that is exactly the right way. I see where he's going. that's the way you should go. But we're looking at, like, you know, just little pieces. We just see a little bit of stuff here. And we're looking going, you want me to do what? I don't understand. So it's not going to get through your head all the time. You can't lean on your head to be led by the Lord. You can't lean on your flesh to be led by your flesh and be like, ooh, let's go here. That looks so good. Looks good to my eyes. Looks good. Makes it feel, looks comfortable. You know, there's people that wouldn't move to certain parts of the world because of the climate. What is that being led by? It's not the Spirit of God. It's not even the mind. It's your flesh. It's like, I don't want to go there. It's cold, or it's hot, or they don't have this. Well, you can miss God. Right? There's other places people say, send me there. That's where I want to go. Same thing. Miss God. Why? Because the flesh wants it a certain way, but God's not saying that. See, God could send you somewhere and your flesh is screaming, going, I don't want to do that. That's the last thing I want to do. Does that mean God's not in it? No. It means our flesh doesn't see the way God sees. Your flesh, you know, your flesh doesn't want to go to the gym. Your flesh doesn't want to stop eating at a certain point. Your flesh just, you know, wants to let somebody have it verbally. Your flesh would want to get up and tell your boss what to do and go. And then, you know, the flesh just wants to do all kinds of stupid things. So it should be, we should not rely on our flesh to be led by God. But if we're not careful, we can do it. People get married because they're led by the flesh. Ooh, they look good. What? Well, you don't know what's down the road, right? Can't do that. No, we have to be led by our spirit. Let's look at, let's turn over to Proverbs. Look at this scripture. Differentiating between these three is so important. And it's like anything, you know, spiritual things, in some ways they're different than natural things, but in some things they're very similar. You didn't learn, at least, let me see a show of hands. How many people, and there may be somebody, how many people, the first time you got on a bike, you rode it, you never fell down, and you just rode it the first time? Anybody? How many people fell down at least once? Okay, so natural things or spiritual things are a lot like natural things. Some people think, I've heard the word, I'm being led by the Spirit of God, I will never have a problem being led. Now, I got it. And it's like natural things in that way. You don't be surprised if you fall off the bike, so to speak. You're all thinking you went and you're being led by God, but boom. Next thing you know, you're getting off the pavement and you have a scrape on your knee. That's not the time to say, I just can't be led by God, forget it. Any more than the first time you fell off your bike, you said, forget it. I just don't have the bike riding gene. I can't ride. Forget it. I can't do it. Right? Some people go, well, I just can't be led by God. What do you mean? So you missed it. Get back up, and now you go back and do what you know to do and keep going. If you stay in this, I can't be led by God, you're just inviting the devil to just join your party and beat you up. You think you have problems now. You start to say, I just can't hear God, I just can't ever, and you start saying that and going that way, you just started the trouble. No, the thing we want to say is, no, I can hear Him, I will hear Him, I'm learning how to be led by the Spirit of God, I make right decisions. And so it's a process of ferreting out what's my head, what's my heart, what's my flesh. But the first thing is, know there's three things. Know there's three buckets. So I can be aware and ask myself the question when I'm thinking about something, we could ask ourselves now, does that sound like my flesh? Does that sound like my head? Or is that really my heart? And, you know, you learn. But Proverbs 20:27, this goes along with what we read in Romans. It says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. The spirit of a man. Notice it's a spirit. Is the lamp. What does the lamp do? It gives light. The Lord will lead you, will enlighten you, will show you where to go by your spirit. And it, you know what? It's really a lot like that. Just even if you could try to express spiritual things, being led by Him, it's like a light. You could be thinking about two areas, and it's just like, this is just a glow over here. Just like there's something drawing you over here. It's a glow. It's like warmth. It is a lot like that. But the Lord will lead you through your spirit. He'll enlighten you through your spirit. Lead you in the right direction through your spirit. Not your head, not your flesh. Look on your sheet there in Romans. In the middle of the page it says, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Look at the Amplified in the next, right down from there. It says, "For I endorse and delight in the law of God in my inmost self with my new nature." See, the new nature where you've been recreated, that's the part that's jumping up and down wanting to do the will of God. Your mind, depending on how much you renew it, which is what we're going to talk about just in a minute, it will more or less be excited with the will of God, depending on how much it's renewed. Your flesh is just however you've disciplined your flesh. Your flesh, if you just let it go, will not want to do anything God wants to do. I mean, how many of you, you may have felt like, I don't want to go to church this morning. You know? I don't want to go. Well, is that your spirit? No. Your head, depending on how much you've trained your head, maybe, maybe not. You know, I mean, if that's not your head, that may be your head's programming. If you've renewed your mind, you know, that wasn't coming from your mind. Now your flesh. You roll over and look at the nice day outside, and you're in this comfy bed, and you're thinking about all the other things you could do. You say, "I believe I'll stay home." Which part do you think just led you? Your flesh. And we all have flesh. And your flesh will talk to you and say, "I think this is a good day to stay in bed. I think we could go for a bike ride today." What is that? Is that the Spirit of God? No. Your flesh is going, "I could do something with this. This would be really comfortable." You ever woken up and it's just completely dark and rainy and cold outside? You want to roll over and go back to bed. You don't want to go to work. Well, okay. If I were dominated by my flesh, I could do just that. Roll over, go back to bed, oversleep, go in late. If I do that too many times, my boss is going to notice that's not going to be good for me. Right? So we discipline our flesh when we need to at times. We tell it, "No, we're not going to do that." But we have to differentiate between which is which here. And he says in this verse, "I endorse and delight." And in this context, this is where he's saying, for the thing I don't want to do, that's what I do. And the things that I don't want to do, that's what, you know, he's talking about all that. That's Paul. That's this whole chapter. But in the midst of that, he says, "For I endorse and delight in the law of God in my inmost self," the real me, the spirit, "with my new nature, I delight in what God's telling me to do." Now turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verse 20. Look back at verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened." Notice that. their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, notice this, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So this is a process. The part of us that was recreated, or created new, is our spirit. But he said, now you're supposed to put off what? The old man. The junk. And it's in your head, and what your flesh wants to do. You have to put off that old man. It's a process. Just because your spirit is born again, you still got to put off the old man. And then it says what in verse 23? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, or the attitude of your mind. You need to be renewed in how we think. We need to renew it. That means we need to program it with something, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. So the more our mind is renewed, we're going to read in our scripture here in a minute, the more our mind is renewed to the Word of God, the more you can trust your thoughts. You'll start to think in line with the Word of God, which will line up with your spirit, because you're thinking different. But you're never going to have your mind completely 100% renewed, so you need to be, you need to follow your spirit and the Word all the time. Have them side by side. Because it's easier to discern between your flesh and your spirit than it is to discern between your soul and your spirit. Sometimes it's really close. Look on your sheet at Hebrews. It says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But notice that. What is going to pierce between soul and spirit? The Word. So you don't just say, well, I'm going to be led by my spirit, absent from the Word. The more you know of the Word, the easier it will be to be led, and you won't be deceived by certain things when others are being deceived because they don't know the Word. You hear somebody preach something, you know, if you know the Word and it's a little off, you can say, yeah, but there's this scripture and that scripture that contradicts it, like we talked about before. I don't care how many people that guy has following him. If you hear it and you're like, yeah, but the Word says. So you won't be deceived. But other people that don't know the Word can say, well, it sounds good. And it might sound good to our flesh. It might sound good to our reason, but it contradicts the Word. And sometimes the Word, and in your own situation, there can be things that you deal with your family or with people that are very close to you that your emotions are involved in. And discerning between what's your heart and your head, it can be really hard to discern that. You're like, because you want something to happen. But is that what your heart's saying, or is that what your emotions are saying? It can be like so close, you're like, God, I'm not sure. What should you do? Get in the Word. Be sure you're done. That's not the time to say, well, I'm just going to go with how I feel. No. You need to know. You keep close to the Word, because the Word will show. The Word is what? It's light. It'll show up on your situation and show you, and you'll be able to discern, okay, I can see. That's my mind. That's my soul. My soul wants that, but that's not what my spirit's really saying. I can see it. My heart is really saying over here. So there's a balance there. Look at Psalm 119 on your sheet there. It says, "The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You notice how Proverbs 20:27 that we read up above, it says, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord." See how those sound similar? The God is going to lead you through your spirit, but you can be led just by looking at the Word. There's some things that you look in the Word and you're reading and you say, that's my answer. Don't think that just because we're talking about being led by the Spirit of God that somehow we're putting that second place or ahead of the Word. No, the Word's first place. That's why we have a written Word. But God, there are things, like we said, that are not in the Bible. The Bible doesn't tell you who to marry. It doesn't tell you what school to go to. So you are going to be led by a combination of the Spirit, your Spirit, and the written Word. So it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." It's like somebody put it like this. If you were trying to navigate through a minefield and all you had is a map, you could read the map wrong. You could look at it and you could have it oriented the wrong way or whatever. And you're going, okay, am I in the right place relative to my map? And I'm about to go, and if I make a wrong move, I'm done. I'm going to get blown up. I could go with the map. That's one way. Or what if I had somebody in my ear telling me to go right, go left, go back, go forth? Well, that could, you know, and they're in a helicopter, they're somewhere they could see me. That could work. But what if I hear them wrong? Go left, I think. But they really somehow got, and I thought it was left, but it was really right. And I step, I go the wrong way. What could happen? Jim, all over the place. But if I have a map in front of me, and I have the earpiece, so I have the map and the earpiece, and now they tell me, go left. And I'm looking, going, yep, that's where it looks like I should go. And they say, go forward now. Yep, looks like I should go. They say, go right. According to my map, there's a mine right there. Are you sure? Did I hear you correctly? Right? There's a checks and balances there. That's like having the Word of God, like your map, and the Holy Spirit. You could hear Him wrong. Your flesh could get involved, but the Word, you check it up and say, I didn't hear right because the Word says this. Now, you could misinterpret the Word, right? And the Holy Spirit's going, what you think you know there, no. You're supposed to go this way. Well, you got to balance it out, and if you're feeling like there's a conflict, what's it time to do? Think about it. If I'm in a minefield and I'm not sure which way I should go, should I just go, we'll go for it. That's not the time to jump. I'm going to stand here because right now I'm in one piece. If I move any direction, I may not be in, you know, that may not be the case. So right now I'm good. I know that. Right here, there's no mine. So I better get it straightened out and take whatever time it takes to get it straightened out before I move. Right? The time is not after I'm in all these pieces to decide, oh, I made the wrong decision. That's not the time to get it clarified. Now is the time to get it clarified. I need to say, okay, I don't think I heard you right. This doesn't seem to go with what my map says. I'm going to stay here until I know and I'm solid that that's where I'm supposed to go. Then I'll move. Then I don't have to be going like, well, here we go. I can go like, all right, because why? I'm ready. I know that's what I'm supposed to do. And I'll stay here until I know I'm supposed to take that next step. And then do I have to take it like, No, if I know, then I can take it like, all right, here. Right? That's how we're supposed to live. Now, I'm not saying you're always going to understand everything with your mind, that you're going to have it all figured out. So you may have to just shut your mind off and go, okay, here we go. But your heart's solid. See, there's a different thing. Your head can be spinning, and you not understand everything, but your heart is solid, and you've checked it, and you've checked it, and you've checked it, and you know, and it lines up with the Word of God, and you feel, and you're solid in your heart, and you say, all right, this is going to work out. You could talk to somebody, and they say, I don't see how that's going to work out. You say, it will work out. Why can you be so bold? I'm not going to blow up here. Are you sure? I'm not, because I've checked it. I know there's nothing here. And if you do that, that's the way we're supposed to operate with the Lord. Take the time. Take the time to know the difference between your heart, your head, and your flesh, and operate there. We don't have to make some of the huge mistakes that the world makes. Because if you're just walking blind, no map, see, no Word of God, no Holy Spirit, coming into the minefield. No wonder people make a mess of their life left and right. But we as Christians, we don't have to live like them. We don't need to look and say, well, I just don't know. Your friend at work is saying, well, I just don't know. We can never know. That might be true for them, but that's not true for us. So we don't need to act like we don't have what we have. We don't need to act like we don't have the Word and we don't have the Spirit of God. We have them, and we need to act on them. We need to rely on them, and we need to check to make sure we're hearing them well, the way we ought to. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I think that's good for this week. We'll stop. Maybe go on to a different thing, a little bit further here in a different area, but I think that's good today. Thank God. Hallelujah. I believe that spoke to one or more people, just that last part. I mean, I know we can all benefit, but there's specific, at least one person, if not more. You need to just stay in that place. You know, that whole map and, hearing the radio communication, you need to just apply that. I'm not going to even say you just stay. However, you need to apply that in your life. However that's working, the Spirit of God knows that. The Spirit of God knows what you need to do. That's speaking to you. You need to act on it. You need to act on it. Praise God. God is good. It's His will that none should perish. He doesn't want us to make moves that are going to hurt us. Make decisions that, and He has. We have the Spirit of the Living God inside us. We have the Holy Written Word, and we can be led by Him. Every decision. Not to say we're not going to miss it at some points, but we don't have to. So many times we miss it because we're looking to one of those other areas. We can look back and we know. We can look back and say, yep, there was something trying to tell me, but I wanted to do it because of this, or I wanted to do it because of that, or something was itching me over here. But we can always look back, and God was showing us. He was speaking to us. He will always speak to us. Hallelujah.